Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell. Welcome you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Today I want to begin simply by wishing you a very happy and blessed Easter. We are entering into the most beautiful season of our year, when we understand that our Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died but rose to new life to offer us eternal life as well. And as I hear the accounts, the gospel accounts of the resurrection and the consequences of that profound moment in our human history, I often think, well, what more can be said about the accounts of the resurrection? I have heard those accounts for 70 years. And so often we think that there is nothing more for these accounts to reveal that is new to us, but rather become simply an iteration of the fact of our belief, of our profound faith that Christ Jesus rose again for our sakes, and he has invited us to the eternal life that he now rules over. But my friends, the richness of the scriptures cannot be underestimated. I was struck by a line in the Gospel of John once that had me thinking about the way in which the entire history of our salvation is plotted in sacred scripture. The scene is early that first Easter Sunday, when Mary Magdalene has come to the tomb and begins to weep over the fact that the tomb is empty. And she is approached by a person whom she takes to be, first of all, a stranger, and is asked, "Why are you weeping?" And she said, "Someone has taken the body of my Lord, and I do not know where it is." And we are told that Mary Magdalene mistook what was, after all, the presence of the risen Lord as the gardener of the garden in which Jesus had been buried. Now, that is a wonderful mistake that Mary Magdalene made, because as you consider the resurrection, which took place in a garden, you ought to remember that the whole reason for the coming of Jesus Christ in our human flesh proceeded from another garden, the Garden of Eden, in which God had placed Adam and Eve, a place of extraordinary richness and fruitfulness, and a place from which, because of their sin, they were expelled. And being expelled from that garden, they then had to face not only toil and pain and suffering, but death itself. And how marvelous that the promise of new life and the conquest over death took place in another garden, a place where Jesus had been buried, in which the tomb could not hold him, in which, in the Gospel of Luke, we are told that no one can look for the living one among the dead. He simply is not here, and death does not have that hold. It is a call to us to put away the things in our lives that are really things of death and live only for those realities of our new life. But Mary Magdalene's mistake led me also to consider the scripture passages that were prophetic of the coming of our Lord and his suffering and death and resurrection. We think not only of the Garden of Eden, which was the scene of that powerful act of creation, the first act of God's salvation in which we are saved from nothing and brought into being. But you look at the prophetic descriptions of the kingdom as they spoke about that day of the Lord when he would come and the desert would bloom. Or think of Ezekiel and his vision of the new temple, from which water flowed And wherever that water touched the land, it burst into fruitfulness, producing plants and trees that gave not only nourishment to humans, but also healing. In fact, that vision of Ezekiel is awakened for us throughout the Easter season, when during the sprinkling rite, the antiphon that is used is, "I saw water flowing from the right side of the temple." And it is a prophetic scene of the flowing of water and blood from the right side of Jesus, splashing onto our lives, bringing new hope, new beginnings, and refreshment. We think of the scene in Gethsemane, a garden in which our Lord decides then to do the will of his heavenly Father. And in that decision was the beginning of our triumph over sin and death. And then the place of burial, where Mary Magdalene encountered then Jesus, whom she thought at first was the gardener. But wasn't this a wonderful mistake? Because Jesus is, after all, the cultivator of the human heart and the human soul. The human heart and soul is a kind of soil, a kind of garden, which planted with the grace of God and the power through Jesus Christ, can blossom to profound fruits of truth, goodness, of all sorts of virtues. And when we think of the place of salvation as being that garden, we realize that throughout sacred scripture, this garden is opposed to the desert which is desolate, the desert which seems to produce so little, the place that seems to be under the hand of the evil one. And it is in the midst of what appears to be desolation that the water that flowed from the side of Jesus brings new life. And the vision of Ezekiel, of that new garden, watered by the water that came from the side of the temple, that prophecy is fulfilled. And in our salvation, in which we too are invited to that garden in which Jesus arose from the dead, we find the hope within ourselves of a new fruitfulness of all nature and the fruitfulness of our own lives, and a reality that salvation includes all of creation. And just as we want that fruit of the resurrection to blossom in our hearts, we want to see it reflected in all of nature around us. I think of the fact that in April, the Feast of St. Mark, celebrated normally on April the 25th, is placed there specifically because on that feast day, the church traditionally blessed the fields in the farms, praying God for his grace, for that shower of his protection and goodness expressed through nature that allowed that garden to blossom and allowed nourishment for our human bodies as well as our souls. Interestingly enough, this year, April 25th falls within the octave of Easter, and therefore is not celebrated, since each day, 8 days after Easter Sunday, is celebrated as a solemnity, is celebrated as another Easter. So that St. Mark's Day will not be celebrated this day, but I pray that even so, we invoke God's blessing as a reflection of the power of Christ's resurrection upon the way in which we feed ourselves and we feed others within that garden. And we also remember that the human person, body and soul, is the link between material and spiritual creation. And in the sin of Adam and Eve, in human sin, that link is broken. And it is repaired by Jesus Christ only in his taking on our human reality while remaining truly divine. And in his person, that link is restored. And we are called also by being placed in the garden of the new creation to repair the breach, the brokenness amongst people, between individuals, through the power and the reality of the humanity of Jesus Christ. And it is a call to bring the whole of the human person back into our harmonious whole itself, where all things are in their proper order. We think of an image that our Lord used that is recorded for us in the 12th chapter of John, in which he said that unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains simply a grain. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And of course, our Lord was speaking about his acceptance of his own death on the cross, but also of the promise of the resurrection. And in the same fashion, I think in Easter, remembering how, in fact, that Easter must remain connected with Good Friday, we too can see our lives as a grain of wheat that, in planting it into the rich soil of Jesus Christ, we can produce an extraordinary fragrance, beauty, and the fruitfulness of a faith-filled Christian existence, and in that way continue to proclaim the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal happiness and life.